Sell what you don't know.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. No one knows for sure how deep the losses run at Wall Street investment banks. There could be a lot of worthless mortgage investments on those books. And one of the cardinal rules of investing is, if you don't know what you own, don't own it. That's why investors are dumping bank stocks again this morning. J.P. Morgan downgraded several of the biggies, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch. They're all down at least 2%. And so far, the Dow has dropped 52 points to 13,261. The NASDAQ has lost 14 already. The S&P 500 is down 9. In Tokyo, the Nikkei dropped 1%. European shares are down more than 1% so far. The U.S. beef industry has had a tough time of it. Mad cow disease crushed beef exports by more than half. But things have been turning around. Countries like Japan and Canada have allowed American meat back in. And now it appears Russia will do the same. Jeremy Hobson reports.
Before the mad cow mayhem, the U.S. provided about 12% of Russia's beef. Today, 0%. That's according to the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Thad Lively is a senior vice president there.
The impact of the loss of the Russian market, along with a number of other of the traditional export markets, was felt very clearly in the bottom lines of the beef packing industry.
Lively says a return to the Russian market could be lucrative. A growing standard of living there has Russians hungry for higher quality cuts of meat. Greg Dowd is chief economist at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
Russia is today the biggest market for Brazilian beef, Argentine beef, Paraguay beef. It's a huge market, and now we've got an opportunity to get on the menu there as well.
Dowd says Russia could bring in $100 to $300 million in business in the first year. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
I'm not sure what's worse, listening to the same annoying holiday commercials over and over. If I hear "every kiss begins with K" one more time, I might lose it. Or annoying holiday pop-up ads. The reality is internet advertising may soon be king. The ad firm Zenith Optimedia predicts spending on web ads will surpass radio next year. Steve Tripoli has more.
Ad buyers will push the web up their priority list next year for a simple reason, says advertising agent Abby Klassen.
You're going to see marketers put their money in places that are more accountable. And the internet, because it's response-based, tends to be that way.
The forecast also says ad spending will grow nicely worldwide next year despite economic uncertainty and despite slow ad growth in the U.S. and Western Europe. Klassen says big events that only happen every 4 years will stoke that growth.
The Olympics always tends to bring out a lot of ad spending, especially in Olympics in China, where marketers are putting a lot of attention lately. The other thing, you know, we have an election.
But the biggest engine driving ad growth will be emerging markets. They're sinking much more into paid persuasion. Africa, the Middle East, and Eastern Europe will pick up the richer countries' slack. The projected ad tab worldwide, a cool $485 billion. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Europeans do have one thing going their way. The unemployment rate just hit a 15-year low, 7.2%. We're joined now by our reporter Megan Williams in Rome. So, Megan, is this creating a better feeling about the economy among Europeans?
Well, that's the interesting thing about it is that it's not. I mean, inflation is up and it's at a 6-year high. It hit 3% in November. Prices are really high in Europe for food and oil. Interest rates are obviously going up, so people aren't borrowing money. So despite the fact that there seems to be more job stability and less unemployment across Europe, people are nervous and not going out and spending.
How are you seeing that feeling of uneasiness among people play out in day-to-day life?
Certainly, Germany for one, I mean, the retail sales is down. In Italy, where I am, there's a lot more what they call here bancarelle, just the casual street markets, you know, where people aren't paying rent, retailers aren't paying rent, so prices are lower. So the informal casual market has had a real boon in Italy and across Europe. And people who have, you know, been selling in traditional ways are hurting.
Okay, Megan Williams in Rome. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
You're listening to The Morning Report for Tuesday, December 4th on Marketplace.org. The Food and Drug Administration is a pretty important agency, wouldn't you say? It has seemed all the more important lately. But a panel of experts says the FDA is in rough shape. It doesn't have enough resources. Today, the Senate will take up this issue. More from John Dimsdale.
Drug recalls and food scares raised questions about the FDA's ability to regulate a growing number of products.
The FDA has actually lost about 1,000 people in the last 3 years. So something needs to change or the agency will continue to go downhill.
William Hubbard is a former associate FDA commissioner. He thinks Congress should double the agency's budget for inspecting food.
Mexico last year, after the spinach outbreaks in California, announced it was going to consider banning the importation to Mexico of American fruits and vegetables. If that kind of thought process takes hold around the world, our food industry is in tremendous jeopardy.
60% of the fresh fruit and vegetables Americans eat comes from overseas. The Senate Health Committee today considers legislation giving the FDA more resources to inspect and block contaminated food imports. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
The Thanksgiving weekend was huge for retailers. But this past weekend, only about half of consumers went shopping, and they didn't spend a whole lot. It appears they're waiting for deeper discounts. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
About 40% of consumers said they hadn't hit the shop since Thanksgiving, and most of them, like Danielle Barclay of New York, were focused on bargains.
The two or three items I picked up, I thought, you know, couldn't beat them. I figured I'd wait to get the rest to see how low the prices will go and see if I could get even better deals later on.
Not exactly what stores want to hear, says Candice Corlett of WSL Strategic Retail. She says it's not just high gas prices that are making shoppers think twice. The must-have items of Christmas's past, like iPods or flat-screen TVs, have lost their status.
I think we may even be at the point where everyone has so much of what's out there that people will be waiting for a sale just because they have to get a gift, and they'll buy whatever has the lowest price.
She expects retailers to post some bleak midwinter profit numbers. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
There's a little place tucked away in the mountains between France and Spain called Andorra. Andorra is about the size of New York City. Its main business is tourism. But global warming threatens to change that. Kyle James has this story.
Two things are impossible to overlook when you're in Andorra. The mountains, of course, and then there's the shopping. The capital is one giant mall. Want a bakery? Good luck. Want some Dior sunglasses and the latest celebrity perfume? No problem. Some might call it retail hell. But when Andorra, with its tax-free status, started offering goods and cigarettes at cut-rate prices back in the 1960s, busloads of travelers came. Before long, it was goodbye backwards poverty, hello ski resorts, and well-heeled tourists. Now Andorra has a $2.2 billion tourist economy and one of the highest standards of living in Europe. You see and hear the boom all around you. Almost every inch of flatland has a building on it. But Andorrans are afraid forces out of their control might put an end to the party, namely global warming. Last winter, it hardly snowed, and ski resorts lost 20% of their business. Rosa Jordana is the head of the National Tourism Board.
Now, if we keep having warm winters and having no snow, then it could be a very serious matter. So we desperately need snow and good winters.
Andorra's other economic pillar, retail, is also getting a little weaker. France and Spain have loosened price controls. That means goods in Andorra aren't quite the bargain they used to be. Pierre Davos heads the country's Bureau for Business Innovation.
We are quite good for the moment, but if we do not begin now to work on diversifying our economy, we may face more difficulties in the future.
Andorra is trying to attract high-tech firms and small specialized manufacturing, since there's simply no room for big factories. The goal is to round out the economy. So if skiing declines, something else can pick up the slack. The country has a lot to offer, DeVos says. Most everyone speaks three languages. There's no income tax. And when it's quitting time at the office, you can be in the mountains in about 10 minutes. In Andorra La Vella, Andorra, I'm Kyle James for Marketplace.
Thank you. The cost of business travel is expected to go up about 7% next year. So guess what? You might have to bunk with your coworker. A survey by Orbitz found 24% of business travelers have been required to share a room on the road. In New York City, the cost of a hotel room is up 14% this year, $318 a night. I'd say sleep is the bane of my existence, probably for anybody who works in the middle of the night. The stats suggest 50 to 70 million Americans have trouble sleeping. There's a hotel in New York that's trying to put some of those troubles to rest. We asked Jamie Bedrin to check it out.
Forget about the fancy chocolates on your pillow. At New York City's Benjamin Hotel, it's all about the pillow itself.
Hi, yes, if we could just go ahead and order a foam pillow for room 512 and have it sent up right away. Thank you so much.
At the Benjamin Hotel, guests can choose from more than a dozen pillows.
The most popular is the Swedish Memory. That was the pillow designed by NASA. Also, the down pillow is really popular. We also have a music pillow, which is you can simply connect it to your iPad and you can listen to your music. The speaker is inside the pillow, so you don't hear the music directly into your ear.
That was Anya Orlanska, the Benjamin Hotel's sleep concierge. She's charged with making sure clients sleep peacefully. The hotel guarantees it, or your money back. Industry experts say the bedding boom took off in 1999 when the high-end Westin Hotel introduced its Heavenly Bed. At the Benjamin, Orlanska emails guests before they arrive to find out their pillow preference. She says the buckwheat, filled with buckwheat hulls, is popular. So is the Satin Beauty, which helps keep hair coiffed overnight. There's also one for snorers.
We have a guest that actually, she purchased the pillow because her husband apparently stopped snoring when the moment he started using the pillow, and she swears that that's the pillow helps him.
Many of the hotel's pillows are available to buy online. It's hard to say whether a pillow could actually cure someone of insomnia or snoring, but sleep doctors like Charles Kimmelman with Cornell University say they can't hurt.
Throughout human existence, we didn't have pillows. Okay, so do we need pillows? No, but they are something of comfort.
Kimmelman says the pillow is a symbol of going to sleep, and often that's enough to help a restless sleeper catch some quality shut-eye. But if the Benjamin's pillows and luxury sheets aren't enough to help you sack out, the hotel, where rooms start at more than $300 a night, also offers soothing in-room massages and bedtime snacks for an extra charge. In New York, I'm Jamie Bedrin for Marketplace.
Now it's nap time. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.